to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman. We've had the organization Food Roots on before, but it's been a while, and there is some new organizations, some new folks around, so we thought we'd revisit them. And it's just a good opportunity to talk about local food and a very fine organization. With us is the relatively new development director of Food Roots, Joel Karras. Thanks for joining us, Joel.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you're not exactly new to the organization, more new to the position, right?
Correct, yeah. I was on the board of the organization for a little shy of 2 years, and then recently was hired on as a half-time development director. So I'm, of course, no longer on the board and now doing this position instead. And was hired at the kind of in partnership with Lauren Sorg, who took on the executive director position. So between the two of us, we're kind of making up the full director position.
So is this new vision time and all of that when organizations do that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's definitely some of that going on. We are transitioning. Shelley Bowe, who started the organization and is back in 2006, I believe it was, and has been tirelessly working at it and running it since then. She's getting a well-deserved retirement here at the end of March. And so, if you have new leadership, I mean, we're still obviously dedicated to the vision that Shelley's kind of created, but we're new leaders and, have some approaches of our own. And so I'm sure there'll be some transition in terms of how we approach things, but no wholesale total changes. We're still focused on local food. And
well, for those who are not familiar with the organization, I'm sure you have the mission statement tattooed to the palm of your hand. So.
Yes. The mission statement for Food Roots is we exist to cultivate a healthy food system for the north coast of Oregon and the communities here. So, yeah, we're working to build that local food system and create more local food production and get people eating locally and eating healthy. And fostering those farmers and farm workers.
I was driving down here this morning, the term food desert, which usually when you think of a food desert, it's some blighted urban area. I wouldn't say that my drive was a food desert as such, but going through some of the communities, and Tillamook County is a rural community, I really, and I've had this sense for some time, that some of those communities, whether it be the grocery store or I know there are farmers markets, but various retail outlets, that the people who are living in some of our communities here and, of course, elsewhere are not really getting everything that they should be getting.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an issue out here in certain communities. And it's funny because I live in Nehalem, a little outside Nehalem on Highway 53. And, so I'm in Manzanita at times, and Manzanita has 3 grocery stores in it. They're pretty good grocery stores. But then a number of the towns along the coast have no or just no grocery stores or maybe have
that's
something
exactly
more
it.
Like
right.
a convenience mart right. or something like that where there's some, but there's kind of a limited selection. So that's a piece of the work that we're doing. And a lot of that is trying to figure out alternate ways of connecting people in those communities with foods, whether it be a farmer's market or a good resource that we have is the North Coast Food Guide, which lists various farmers and farm producers as well as markets in the area, kind of up and down the North Coast. And we have a print version that we put out of that, but we also have an online version, northcoastfood.org. And so we'd like to build that too to get people connected to the farmers that are out there, because there's another option is sometimes there might be a farm around where you can go right to the farm and buy some local food. And that's not, as easy as a grocery store, but it at least is a way to get people connected to good locally grown food too.
Well, what's the economics there? Is it a matter of, cheap calories win? I mean, if I'm running a grocery store in one of these communities, what's it going to take to get me to buy and offer up local produce and eggs and everything else?
As someone I've worked for a number of farms in the area, that all of which sell at farmers markets and all of which have done some selling with wholesale or into local stores that do support and buy local food. And it's tricky. I mean, it's part of a big process of education, I feel like, where there's a standard supply chain, and that standard supply chain is rooted in an industrial agricultural model and not necessarily in small local producers. And so the grocery stores, a lot of times, that's the system that they know. And the shoppers, that's the system they know, right? So you can walk into a grocery store with a produce section and you can buy citrus any time of the year, which doesn't grow here anywhere at any point of the year. Or you could grow things that do grow here because you can grow all kinds of different vegetables here, but maybe not in the middle of winter. You're not going to get tomatoes, but you can grow them out here in the summer. And so it's a big piece. I mean, the farmers, I've heard farmers talk about the challenge of working with wholesalers and getting wholesalers to understand seasonality, amounts that they can do. Like, depending on the size of their farm, they might not be able to supply, you know, this set amount of broccoli every single week consistently throughout the season. There might have to be some variability there. So there's a big education piece. And it would also help if we can kind of continue to work on bringing together different... I'm working on creating co-ops and partnerships too amongst farms so you can better fill out some of that, those supply fluctuations, where maybe you can sign up to get food from local farmers, but, you know, by bringing all the farmers together, you can kind of create a supply chain that evens out some of those fluctuations. But that's also a long-term project.
Sure. Well, you know, it's education and also the infrastructure it takes to get that going,
right.
Which I suppose some of that could be done online. You can have an online resource for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And there's definitely some stuff going on. The Columbia Pacific Economic Development District, I know, is doing some work on trying to create some more distribution chain stuff out here. And trying to create some storage facilities to better store crops so that they can and make maybe some more centralized distribution. And that's still in this very early stages, so, you know, it's not going up tomorrow. But I know there is work being done around that. And Food Roots is kind of, we've got our foot in on that and are trying to figure out how we can contribute to that and kind of move that forward.
Our guest this morning on Neocone View is the new development director of Food Roots, Joel Karas. What about the issue of hunger? That's a persistent one. To what extent does Food Roots get involved with that?
Well, a big piece of what we do is trying to provide access to good locally produced food to low-income community members. So a big piece of that is we've worked with the various farmers markets in Tillamook County to create SNAP acceptance there, which is a supplemental nutrition assistance program. Also known as food stamps, or formerly known as food stamps. People will probably be more familiar with that term. And so that's where people can go in there with their food stamps, they can get tokens and spend it at the in the market and, you know, buy fresh produce from local farmers. And the other aspect of that, we've done that at Tillamook, Manzanita, and Neskowin Farmers Markets, and are working on getting that going to Pacific City. And we've also at Tillamook, Manzanita, and Neskowin help them to establish SNAP match programs, which matches the first $10 that you spend in SNAP benefits there, you get matched with an additional $10. So it doubles your purchasing power. And so that's a program that I think helps a lot. It helps, you know, you're essentially cutting the price of the food in half for low-income participants, which can really make that really competitive or cheaper than going to the grocery store, and you're getting locally produced food, and you're also benefiting the local economy and helping these local farmers stay in business and keep growing.
Tillamook County is this long county and functionally skinny county that hugs the coast. Are there any, I hate to use the word regional differences because these are small geographies, but is there a difference in how you approach the work or that you see agriculture and food working between, say, North, Central, South County, or is it all pretty much function about the same?
Well, you know, in terms of actually growing and raising stuff, I'm kind of a little more familiar north to central in terms of the farms I've worked on and where I personally live. I feel like there's a lot of similarities, but there's definitely microclimates too. Yeah. I mean, gosh, just driving along the coast, you're like in fog, you're out of fog, and there's like sun pockets and that are consistent. So there's issues with that. There's issues with infrastructure that vary, you know, from town to town, even the food access, like we talked about, the grocery stores, things like that. So I think Food Roots works throughout Tillamook County, and our goal is definitely to create partnerships, to create networks throughout the county where we're working together. And because you can get, I mean, people, you're in your little geographic area and you're not always totally aware of what's going on in the other areas. And a certain amount of that, that's just natural. You know, you're where you're at in your community, and it makes sense that that's where you're most focused. But there are opportunities to create partnerships and to create networks throughout the county. And I think that can strengthen the overall regional food system. So we want to help facilitate that. And, you know, we do that some with the, with helping to create the Tillamook County Farmers Market Associate Network. And so that's kind of got, helps keep the farmers markets working together, and, partnering. And our farm to school programming with, our current Food Corps service member, Sarah, she kind of heads up the farm to school programming, and she works at schools throughout Tillamook County.
North, how does that work?
We've been doing the farm to school programming for, I believe we're in our fourth year currently, which it's facilitated by 11-month Food Corps service members, which is kind of in partnership with the Oregon Department of Agriculture. It's kind of like an AmeriCorps sort of situation. They come in and provide 1,700 hours of service hours over the course of 11 months. And are great. They come in, they help us carry out this farm to school programming, which is, we have school and community gardens. We've established 12 of them throughout the county over the years. And we utilize those to provide like garden education, to have kids coming in and helping to grow plants and starts and vegetables. We do cooking and nutrition education, farm connection activities, sometimes having farmers come in and speak with kids and talk to them about what they do. So it's a way to get the kids involved, to get them, you know, a lot of these kids, even though we live in a rural and an agricultural county, a lot of kids don't, they don't have much connection to growing food or raising animals or farming or gardening aspects. So we're kind of giving them that connection, letting them dig in the dirt and, you know, pull a carrot out of the ground and eat it, or pull a pea off the vine and eat it. And get that connection and understand a little bit better where food comes from, and that, that it's not, it's something that they can do, that, that that can be a part of their life. Like there's some of the food they can eat can come from them, and can come out of the dirt that they work. And so I think that's really important for kids, because there's a lot of disconnect. And a big piece of this entire, all this work of trying to build a local food system is establishing this, getting that education, establishing that connection with the next generation. And so that they understand they can be a part of the food system too, in whatever way, whether it's actually being a farmer or just gardening or whatever.
I was going to say, as far as being a farmer, the future of family farm or smaller farms is going to be encouraging another generation to pursue that as a career, really as a life.
Right.
You know, how do you do that? There's a lot of attractions elsewhere.
There is, and it's an ongoing challenge. And we hear about it from, you know, we still have a lot of local farmers, but they don't, you don't as have as, it's not as common for kids to take over the farm, right? When the current generation is getting ready to retire. So it is a challenge. And one of the things that we're trying to do is foster new farmers by providing some support for them. So we have the North Coast Grown Specialty Crop Program, and that's funded through a USDA Specialty Crop Block Grant. So that focuses on specialty crops by a USDA definition, are like fruits, vegetables, herbs, and ornamental and other horticultural crops. So that's kind of their focus, and that's what the focus of that program is. And it provides, we provide technical training for farmers. Emily Vollmer is the person, the staff person who's kind of implementing that program. She's fantastic, and she does... she's helped organize workshops and trainings. We did like a blueberry pruning workshop. We have a soil sampling workshop coming up here soon.
Well, there's one, the soil sampling part one is this afternoon.
Is, yeah, this afternoon. And that's being put on by our North Coast Grown Project and OSU Extension. Yeah, and they're going to be going over some.
So what, how's that going to work? I bring in some soil and somebody tells me what I got?
They're gonna go over how to do a soil sample, and you can bring some soils to the workshop, and you'll have a chance to like evaluate it and get a sense of it. And that's just part one. There'll later be a part two where we can send it into the lab to get analyzed, and then you come back and they'll kind of go over how to read that and that analysis and understand what you're working with and how you can supplement it, or you know, how you can work on building your soil or putting in some of the nutrients that might not be there already. And so that's just, you know, one example of the sort of workshops that Emily is putting on through North Coast Grown and working oftentimes with the OSU Extension, like in this case, to sort of lend some support, basically just ways to lend support to new farmers or even people that are gardening but want to, like, maybe you're thinking of trying to transition and doing something more, a little bigger, where they're actually selling some of their crops, selling some of their food. And try to give a little extra support to make it just a little bit more feasible, you know, like just to make it a little easier to get going farming. That's kind of the goal of the program, to help support these new farmers and keep them going rather than flaming out right at the beginning. Cause it's tough. You know, I've interned on multiple farms. I've done a little selling of my own stuff, and I see people that are really excited about it and who really want to be farmers. And then they fall out of it because this just, the support's not there, you know, like the systemic support isn't there in terms of like the national infrastructure and regional infrastructure for how we get food to people. It's not really developed for local food for the most part. And so you're kind of fighting against the system already. And then it's just these piecemeal things. It's hard. It's hard to make a living. It's hard to make money growing food. It's a challenge. And so if we can create some support systems that maybe is the difference between some of these young and new farmers making it and or not making it, like that can be critical in the early stages. You keep them in the game, and then once they get going, they're self-supporting, and then that builds on itself. Like that helps build the local food system. The more farmers you have producing food for local people to eat and getting out there and marketing it and telling people about it and advocating for it, like that's what builds the local food system. I've seen it happen in various places. I feel like it's happening here. And so any way that Food Roots can play a role in that and keep that momentum going, like I think that's huge.
Our guest this morning on Neocon View, Joel Karas, is the development director for Food Roots. Joel, how did you get into the interest that you have and now the vocation that you have with food?
Well, I started farming. I went to intern on a farm up on Whidbey Island up near Seattle in the Puget Sound back in 2009. And I kind of did that. I was finishing up my long-delayed bachelor's degree after doing some AmeriCorps terms. And I was reading about local food and getting really interested in the idea of local food and local food systems. And I had some friends that had done some farming, had worked on some farms in Portland, and I was just interested in it, and I was kind of intrigued, and I thought, well, I was finishing up school, I didn't really know what I was doing next, so I was like, maybe I'll go try work on a farm, see what it's like, maybe I'll like it. And so I did, I went and worked on a vegetable CSA up there on Whidbey Island, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with farming. I fell in love with working outside, doing physical labor, being connected to the seasons, you know. It was really great, meaningful work. And I love feeding people. And I love knowing that people are eating good food, partly because of my labor. So,
well, now you're a development director. Hope you get out some.
I know. I do. I just the other day, actually, this is going to sound terrible. I just planted garlic the other day, which is probably about 4 months late, but I didn't get to it this last fall, and so I took advantage of the sunny weather and went outside and planted some garlic in the garden, and I wanted to plant the entire garden that day, but I know this weather is a trick too.
Well, that's a good way of maybe transitioning to this crazy weather we are having. In the real world experience of being a farmer, how's this all affecting us?
That's a good question. I've been farming out here since 2011 here on the coast. And, you know, it seems like every season's been kind of different, whether it's a nice spring or just a miserable spring. The first year I came out here, the spring was miserable. I remember one day in May, I was working transplanting starts in the hoop house, and it was raining and suddenly got really quiet, and I walked outside and I was just very confused for a moment. What happened? It started snowing. And it was May, you know? And so I thought, this is just not right. And then it just snowed for maybe an hour or so, and then it went back to rain. But it's Yeah, and then you have February, and it's 60, 65 degrees sunny. It feels like spring or summer, although usually there's a little nice weather in February, but this seems a little extra.
The rain will return.
The rain will definitely return. I have no doubt about that. So it's, you know, like, I don't know. Every year it seems a little different, and that's the reality that farmers deal with. That's the reality that farmers have always dealt with, and it seems like maybe it's getting a little stranger, and that's just what farmers will have to continue to deal with. And that's part of the issue, too. Like, that goes back to the question of education and people understanding the challenges of producing food, and knowing that it's the food system that most Americans are exposed to is very consistent. And it's just it's based on the assumption you could have what you want when you want it. And the reality is, if you're on a particular piece of land growing food or raising animals, it's not that simple. If you can pick and choose from anywhere in the world, then you can create that system. But that's an entirely different system. That's not a local food system. Local food system means that you have to be connected with the local climate, the local land, your local farmers, your local communities and culture. All those things play a role in it. And you have to become more familiar with that, and you have to understand what's possible and what's not, and what learn to eat in a different way.
Make the case. Somebody says, but I want my asparagus in January.
Well, I understand that, and I'll talk about me. I have a rule. I don't eat tomatoes except in the summer. I eat my tomatoes that I grow, and they're delicious. And sometimes I go to the bar and I get a burger, and there's a tomato, in the middle of January on my burger. And I always forget to tell them no tomato. I don't like tomatoes on my burger anyway.
Me either.
But it's not really a tomato. It's, in my mind, it's not really a tomato. It's pale pink. It doesn't have much flavor. It was picked green. It was shipped to a facility where they ripened it with gas, and then they stuck it on the store shelf, or they shipped it off to the restaurant. I don't think that's very rewarding. But in the summer, when I eat a tomato that I grew, I think that's super rewarding. It's really, really good. And so I'm okay not eating them in the winter, because I know I'm going to get the best tomato I can get in the summer. And for me, the added benefit, too, is I grew it as well. So that's like just extra good. And so there's a lot of food that we can eat in the winter. You can eat, you know, I eat a lot of potatoes, winter squash. I eat meat from local farms. You can grow a lot of brassicas over the winter in a garden, or local farmers can have them. And I can eat kale. I can eat broccoli. I can can stuff and pull that off the shelf. I can pull stuff out of the freezer. And I realize not everyone's going to do all this, but I think eating seasonally, to me, it's worth it. It's actually way better. I like that change throughout the year. Like, I was driving in today and saw a cherry tree blooming, right? Like, it's that time of year. You get that at a certain time of the year. You don't get it all the year, but that's part of what makes it so beautiful and special. These early, crazy February days, it does happen. Like I said, this seems maybe a little extra warm, but every February seems like there's that week where it suddenly feels like spring. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm ready for spring. And it's not spring. It's still, it's officially about a month away. It's March 20th, but it's not, you know, we're going to have three more months of rain and cold, right, before we really get the good weather. And that's most likely what's going
to
happen.
Tell that to my drooping daffodils.
Right. So when you eat seasonally, you're connecting to all those natural systems and those natural cycles. And I think it's great. Like, I get excited about the new things coming on throughout the season. And when it circles back and you remember how good it is, and then it's gone for a while and you come back to it later. And I think it's frankly a lot more interesting than just eating the same thing day in and day out all through the year. And like I said, when you do it seasonally, when you're eating it, it's at its best.
I want to talk pie for a second. When people might know, what's pie have to do with? Pie is obviously food, but it's not a tomato. I guess you could put a tomato into a savory pie, but
you could.
Pie Day is something that's been happening for the last few years in the north part of Tillamook County. It's now coming to the south.
That's right. This year, we've done it for we just had our 7th annual Pie Day in North County, and that's traditionally been an event put on in conjunction with the Lower Nehalem Community Trust and Food Roots, and this year it transitioned to Food Roots and the White Clover Grange up in North County. It was very successful, and we're doing a second South County Pie Day this year, so now we've got two Pie Days. So the first one was on actual National Pie Day, PIE, January 24th, and then South County Pi Day is going to be the Mathematical Pi Day, March 14th.
Ah, yeah. 3.14.
Yeah, so there's two Pi Days, so you know, on the calendars, you got to have two Pi Day events, right? So it's going to be 7 p.m. March 14th at the Kiawanda Community Center in Pacific City, and it's a fundraiser for Food Roots as well as for our partner organizations, which are the Nesquen Farmers Market, Pacific City Farmers Market, and the Pacific City Food Pantry. So we're all kind of working to put this event on and as a joint fundraiser. And what's going to happen is it's a pie auction. We are going to have, I believe, 24 auction pies that will be various amazing pies made by local casts of characters.
Yeah, the pies are just amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Yeah. So they'll auction those off, and that's then it'll be very entertaining. You know, it's always real fun. And then after the pie auction, they'll be followed by an all-you-can-eat pie and ice cream feast. And so we'll have a table laid out with a whole array of locally baked pies, all kinds, different kinds. And we usually have some gluten-free and vegan ones as well. And people can go at it, you know? And so it's $10 at the door, gets you in and gets you the fun of the pie auction and the deliciousness of the pie feast. And yeah, the North County event was great. I have no doubt the South County event is also going to be great. And I recommend people coming out and checking it out.
Well, it's way too much fun and great food.
Pie is pretty high on the great food list.
It is.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, a reminder then about some of the activities. You've got the soil sampling coming up, and there's all sorts of ongoing activities. How can people find out about it? And, of course, about Pi Day as well.
Yeah, well, they can go to our website, which is foodrootsnw.org. That's NW as in Northwest. And they can see that we have a calendar of events, so they can see all the events coming up. They can also just learn more about what everything that Food Roots is doing as an organization and how we're contributing to the community. They can learn about Pi Day. And you can also go on to Facebook and look us up, Food Roots, maybe Food Roots Tillamook. I think there's a couple Food Roots on Facebook in various places of the country, but you can like our Facebook page and follow us on there too, and we put updates on that as well.
And also use it as a resource, because you said, that's what you're around for, is for people who have an interest in making sure they're doing the best possible thing with their food locally.
That's right.
Can use your website and your organization as a resource.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have a number of resources for people working in the local food system, and also just general for the general public is education about local food. So check it out and see if there's some way we can help you help build local food system and get people eating good local food.
I didn't even get a chance during their talk this morning to mention that you are the treasurer of the White Clover Grange in Nihala, which is just a cool building. I mean,
it's a cool building.
People should just go on by and, you know, walk
check
around
it
and
out.
Pop their
and
head in.
And we have a monthly potluck that's open to the public. It's usually the first Wednesday at 6:30 at the Grange, and people are always welcome to come and join us and just hang out. You don't have to be a member to do it. That's great.
Spend another half hour talking about the whole Grange and the whole Grange movement and all of that. And there's just a lot going on there. Well, Joel Karras, the development director of Food Roots here in Tillamook County. Great pleasure talking to you. Best wishes on Pi Day and all the things you are doing. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And we will see you next month on Neocony View.